On this Memorial Day weekend, as our nation remembers those who made the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country, and as we as a congregation gather on Remembrance Sunday, when we remember our members who passed within the last year, may we be inspired by the faithfulness of those who have gone before us. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. On behalf of everyone helping to lead worship this morning, whether you're joining us in the sanctuary or online, we welcome you and trust that God will meet us as we look to be inspired by the faithfulness of our saints. At this point, I do have a number of announcements I wish to highlight, and we'll begin with Pastor Bethany with an announcement about Vacation Bible School.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, we will be having Vacation Bible School a week from Tuesday, starting on June 3rd through the 5th. And I invite you especially to turn to the back of your bulletin. You'll see a little graphic there. And on the graphic, you will see a QR code that you can reuse to register. If you know of someone who would like to join us, I invite you to register beforehand. But you will have the capability to register if you just come that night. And so that will give you some details about the schedule. And if you have any questions, please feel free to let me know.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. Exciting week of Vacation Bible School coming up June 3rd through the 5th. I, too, have a number of announcements. Lead off with sharing that next week, United Methodists from across Michigan will gather in Traverse City once again to attend to our work and connection as the United Methodist Church throughout our state. We will have six church members who will represent Midland First at this year's annual conference, along with Pastor Bethany and I, who will participate in this year's annual conference as clergy. Annual conference this year will take place next week, May 30th through June 1st. And so I invite you to be in prayer as we attend to being the church here in Michigan. With us, Reverend Dr. Carl Price will fill the pulpit and preach on Sunday, June 1st. So I invite us to look forward to that special time in worship together as a church. I also have two reminders for us as a congregation here on this Memorial Day weekend. Our church will participate in our community's Memorial Day parade tomorrow, handing out candy, I believe, and also invitations to the church's Vacation Bible School. If you wish to march with the church in the parade representing the congregation, we invite you to gather by the entrance closest to the West Larkin and Jerome streets at 9:30. Or if you wish to take in the parade with some of your friends here at the church or others you might know, invite you to gather in front of the church on Main Street at 10 o'clock. Either way, we invite you to share in our community's observance of Memorial Day and the sacrifice of all who laid down their life in service to this country. Ask that you do note that the church office will be closed in observance of Memorial Day as well. One final announcement for you this morning. I'll direct your attention to one of the inserts in your bulletin this morning. And with this, on behalf of the Church's Strategic Leadership Council, I'm pleased to announce the hiring of Emily Todd as the Church's incoming administrative assistant. Emily comes to Midland First with several years of leadership and office experience in several business settings and a desire to serve now in a church setting. Emily's first day at the church will be this Tuesday, May 27th. So if you happen to be stopping by the church next week, ask that you will join the SLC, the staff, and me in extending a warm Midland First welcome to the newest member of our church staff. Much gratitude to all of our leaders and staff who participated in this hiring process. Certainly encourage you to turn to your e-blast, your weekly email. There's a lot more in there with ways to stay in touch and connected with the congregation. But for now, I'm going to invite us to stand and to greet one another. After a brief time, I'll call together with the ringing of the bell and invite you to remain standing for our call to worship.
Today, we are here to not only worship God, but also to honor and remember those who have passed away since May of 2024. God, instill a feeling of gratitude for those individuals who are named in the bulletin and who will be honored later in our worship. Help us to be more like you, God, and to do as you would have us do.
Glory to God in the highest. May we seize the opportunity given to us by Christ and share our faith with those around us. Praise be to God, for his love endures forever.
Amen. If you would remain standing. Our opening hymn will be on page 184, or on the screen, Of the Father's Love Begotten.
Thank you. it. Let the kids come up. Good to see you. All right, today we are going to learn about Lydia. Lydia was a businesswoman in the Bible, which is very unusual. She made purple cloth. She dyed it, and then she turned it into beautiful clothing, and she sold it to the rich and famous. Well, Lydia heard Paul preaching and teaching, and she decided she wanted to follow Jesus. Paul said these three words over and over, Jesus loves you. Lydia asked Paul to baptize her and her whole family. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thanks for the color purple, the color Lydia loved. Thanks for ears to listen like Lydia listened to Paul. Thank you for our mouth to speak, to share the good news like Paul did. Thank you for your great love that helps us spread the good news just like Lydia did. Amen. Let's go to Sunday school. Come on.
On this Remembrance Sunday, We now take time as a church to remember our saints who have gone on to life everlasting before us. Specifically today, we remember our church members who have passed since our last observance of this day within the life of our church. As we begin this time together, I invite you to turn your attention to our memorial gardens to your left, where our memorial garden team has placed a wreath in memory of all loved ones who have been interred in the church's Schrader Memorial Garden. You might also note the geraniums up front here on the steps in the chancel area. These two will be planted in our gardens in memory of our loved ones who we remember today. And so at this time, Roy Green, a member of our memorial team, will now lead us in this year's remembrance of our saints.
Good morning. Let us take a moment to remember those who have passed within the last year. Sally Stapleton. Lindy Jackson. Sandra Burmister. Emma Meyer. Calvin Snyder, Linda Johnston, Marilyn Haskins, Mark Lauer, Patricia Siren, David Young, Bill Robertson, Martha Briggs, Ruth Green, Elaine Waters, Linda Hahn, Judy Malott, Alma Kaiser Schaefer, Dennis Carey, Janice Barrett, Philip Moss, Ruth Huggard, Dwayne Talley, Michelle Milhouse, Carrie Racy, the Reverend Douglas Trichabilcott, Mary Lou Agonati, Arthur Flock, Donald Graham, and Robert Peterson.
We give God our thanks for our saints. At this time, I invite Brad Barr, who serves as the Vice Chair of the Strategic Leadership Council, to come forward into Joy Roy Green here at the top of our chancel area. Together, they will share the dedication of memorial gifts given in memory of loved ones and our saints.
On this memorial weekend, let us remember those who have gone beyond. As Memorial Committee member, the gifts have been given in remembrance to the past members, memorizing their constant love and witness to Christ. We offer these gifts that they may be dedicated to the glory of God and for the service to His church.
I accept these gifts on behalf of the congregation as a sacred trust, exercising stewardship of them reverently in honor of the faithful and devoted lives in whose memory they are given.
Let us pray. We bless your holy name, O God, for all your servants who, having finished their course, now rest from their labors. We lift up those whose names we have lifted before you and one another this morning. We lift up those whose names we now name silently in our own hearts. Give us grace to follow the example of their steadfastness and faithfulness to your honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
When I am gone, don't you cry for me. Don't you pity my sorry soul. What pain there might have been will now be past, and my spirit will be whole. I'll be on my way. I'll be on my way. I'll have left my feet of clay upon the ground. I will be glory bound. I'll be on my way. When I am gone, don't you cry for me. Don't you pity my sorry soul. What pain there might have been will now be past, and my spirit will be whole. I'll be on my way. I'll be on my way. I'll have left my feet of clay upon the ground. I will be glory bound. I'll be on my way. When I am gone, please forgive the wrongs that I might have done to you. There'll be no room for regrets up there, high above, way beyond the blue. I'll be on my way. I'll be on my way. I'll have laid my frown and all my burdens down. I'll be putting on my crown. I'll be on my way. When I am gone, don't you look for me in the places I have been. I'll be alive, but somewhere else. I'll be on my way again. I'll be on my way. Glory everywhere. I'll be on my way. I'll be on my way. I'll be on my way. I'll have laid my frown and all my burdens down. I'll be putting on my crown. I'll be on my way. I'll have laid my feet of clay upon the ground. I will be glory bound. I'll be on my way.
And now we come to a time of offering. If our ushers will please come forward, and if you would, take a moment to sign the red friendship pad in your pew and pass it down. And if you don't know who you're sitting by, take a moment to look and see the person's name, maybe get to know them after the service. We like to know who our neighbors are, and we like to get to know them too.
Thank you.
are the giver of every good gift. All that we have to give is all that we have already been given from you. Lord, we thank you for each and every gift that you give us. We thank you for these gifts that have been received today. Use them for your honor and glory to build up your kingdom. We love you and we thank you so much for the privilege that it is to be a part of it. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts, so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you consider yourself a saint?
No.
Do you consider yourself a saint? Intuitively, I'm guessing that many of us are saying no. Some of us are saying so out loud this morning, that no, it's not even close. Some of you inside might even be bristling at the mere thought of being asked, "Do you consider yourself a saint?" At least I know that to be true of myself. After all, in my mind, this title, sainthood, is rightfully reserved for a venerated and selected few. Those who, in my mind, are near perfect, who, in my mind, have never disappointed, or somehow manage or are managing to live lives entirely above reproach. So it's not as if I have some scandalous skeleton stashed away somewhere, For myself, it's more the case that in my mind, I don't measure up to those whom I think of as saints. People like Mother Teresa or Mr. Fred Rogers or the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Or even closer to my circle of influence, people like my wife's grandmother, Ma Kitty. People like my friend and member, mentor, Reverend Dr. Chuck Keyworth. People like many in the churches I've served along the way, including here. In my mind, I don't belong in the same conversation with individuals like these. And so for me, I don't think of myself as a saint. And if I had to guess, perhaps even from the reaction within our sanctuary or perhaps in your home, many of you would say the same. But my thinking on so much of this and what constitutes a saint changed several years ago. Several years ago, I received a phone call from the daughter of one of my childhood Sunday school teachers. This Sunday school teacher was the sort of teacher whose lessons reverberated in my life long after I attended their class. You see, they were simply relentless. They were relentless in their approach to life as a spouse and as a parent. And as a successful entrepreneur, they were relentless in their willingness to keep showing up for our class, even though over the years our class shrunk down to two. This teacher of mine was relentless in their love for God that so clearly filled their heart and mind. Back when I was growing up, they were a virtual rock star in my eyes. They made being a Christian and living as a follower of Jesus Christ look so good that they helped set my own heart on fire to love God and to love others. By the time I got married and became a pastor, 10 years had passed since they had been my Sunday school teacher. And even still, with the passing of time, I saw this Sunday school teacher of mine as nothing short of a saint, as someone that God was using in my life by virtue of their own love for God, to reveal God's calling and God's best in my life. And so several years ago, when my Sunday school teachers called, Sunday school teacher's daughter called me to let me know that their parent was dying and to see if I would pay them a visit, I showed up. I showed up just as my teacher had done for me countless number of times on Sunday mornings. It was during that visit and in the ensuing days as I prepared with the family the funeral of their loved one . It's in those ensuing days that I learned that my teacher, that my saint, had fought a lifelong addiction to alcohol. Like most illnesses, and like most addictions, my teacher's fight was not without its hurts and consequences. Much like how his Sunday school lessons reverberated in my life, in my sitting down with the family, I learned that so did the hurts and consequences of my teacher's illness reverberate in the lives of those who loved him the most, most especially his family. But God's grace shined once again through my teacher following their death. As the family and I sat together to prepare the funeral service of their loved one, a service to celebrate their life and the resurrection, they courageously asked me to include this painful part of their story and that of their loved one. And they did so not because all the hurts had healed and not because all had been resolved. It was clear this was not yet the case. But they risked so much and made their family so vulnerable because my teacher's spouse and their adult children recognized that each of us, without exception, is a broken vessel. And that sometimes God's light, God's glory, God's redeeming grace shines brightest through our imperfections and not in spite of them. All because, as Pastor Bethany read to us, God chooses to hold his greatest treasure, the light, the hope, and good news of Jesus Christ in us. Fragile, flawed, chipped, and even broken jars of clay. It's interesting to note, as one commentary on this passage noted that in archaeological digs from these times, they have found that clay pots, clay jars, are pretty commonplace. At least fragments of them. And yet the commentator has us imagine the treasures of infinite worth that were contained within these jars. Perhaps this morning, we might think of how commonplace clay jars are still today. And even more so, the infinite treasures that are contained inside of each one of us. So as I officiated this funeral, I felt as if I was sitting down for one last lesson with my Sunday school teacher. And as we remembered their life, the cherished parts along with the difficult ones, I learned that day all about the imperfections of sainthood. And once again, the power of God's redeeming grace and Christ's resurrection. If you're here in the sanctuary this morning and have a bulletin in your hand, I invite you to take another look at today's Remembrance Sunday insert. Wherein we've listed the names of our saints who we remember today. Those who have passed and entered life everlasting since last year's Remembrance Sunday. Wherein we list the names of our saints. Perhaps you have a loved one on this list. Or perhaps this worship service and list of loved ones have you considering your own saints. Others in this church or in our own lives. Let us pause for a moment of silence as we remember our loved ones and as we remember our saints. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, It is by your grace that our saints in our lives had opened up their lives to you. Sunday school teachers, role models, parents, church leaders, coaches, teachers in our schools, friends whom we have known for a lifetime, or even just the briefest seasons of life. Lord, from all the various walks of life, we encounter your saints. And they open our eyes and they open our hearts and they open our minds to the very best that you have for us. And indeed, O Lord, some of those saints are still walking among us. And we give you thanks for how they continue to speak into the life of your church and our community and your kingdom. And yet, oh God, we also remember on this Remembrance Sunday those who have entered life everlasting before us, those who now rest from their labors and glorify you in the heavens. Indeed, O Lord, each of their lessons continue to speak in our lives. And Lord, though we have many cherished memories of our saints, ways that we want to follow, ways that we want to continue in, we're mindful that just like us, you had chosen to store your greatest treasures in jars of clay. And that within each of us and even within our saints, there are imperfections. And we thank you for your redeeming grace that speaks through all of us. Help us to meet those imperfections with grace, O God. And may you continue to use all things for the good of those who love you. And God, as a nation, as we walk through this Memorial Day weekend and into Memorial Day, we remember those who have given life's ultimate sacrifice in service to our country. We remember their family members also who share in this very sacrifice. As a church, we pray, O Lord, that you would comfort these families and that they would know that their loved one's sacrifice and that of their own is appreciated as we hold them in our hands. And we pray, O God, that you would continue to use our nation and the nations of this world to be instruments of your peace and your coming kingdom. We pray all this in the name of Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand as you are able and join one another in our closing hymn. Rejoice in God's Saints. We'll find this on page 708 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. Each week, our worship leaders, our tech team comes together, and we discuss our services. And I knew Tyler's anthem was coming up. And I said, Tyler, so you know, at my service, at my funeral service, I want you to sing that anthem. And so, Carr, I'm saying this now so you can reference the tape and be mindful of it. Not that I want to hasten that day, but I love that anthem. Because it is a victorious anthem and raises the light and hope of the resurrection, even in the shadows of death. And in this anthem, you might have heard it this morning. I just heard it this morning. There's this line. That asks for forgiveness. And for me, it's an acknowledgement that we are all jars of clay. And that we don't have to be perfect, nor do our loved ones. For God's love to shine through us and to shine through them. So let us be these jars of clay, still able to share this infinite treasure within us. Amen. Amen. Amen.